what has been described as one of the most tragic incidents in America related to the fight for civil rights somehow brought into the spotlight former Rhodesia and apartheid South Africa, two countries in colonial Africa that were the poster children of racism, with the late rebel Prime Minister Ian Douglas Smith in Rhodesia and Piet Willem Botha in South Africa. Dylan Roof, who is now in police custody, proudly displayed the flags on his jacket in a picture he posted on his Facebook page. The memories of Zimbabwe's colonial past does not bring up the best of memories for many, including Senior Minister of State and ZANU-PF spokesman Ambassador Simon Kayamoyo, who recalls it as so brutal that it forced the blacks to wage a war of liberation.
ZANU went through a very, very protracted liberation struggle because we were fighting against white supremacy and secularism. And of course, we had to take up arms because we were considered subhuman, but we defeated them, of course, through the efforts of also our friends from various countries, particularly Russia and China and many other countries.
Legendary musician Thomas Mapfumo, who now lives in the U.S. and was jailed by the Smith regime for the criticism of the colonial system, concurs with Moyo, remembering how Africans who were treated as second-class citizens lived.
Life was hard. I mean, during the white man's rule, was tough. Everything was just tough. There was a lot of racism, a lot of segregation. So you can get the money, but if there is segregation, you're not free. You're not. There's no freedom. That's why people had to revolt and fight against the colonial rule.
But why are symbols of Rhodesia and apartheid still being used? In the U.S., where the civil rights movement was winning historic victories, white supremacists saw the viciously racist Rhodesian government as a victory worth celebrating. By 1976, court, there was a sprawling proliferation of pro-Rhodesian organizations in the United States. University of Houston historian Gerald Horn writes, "The transatlantic question of race was the essential glue that held the lobby together." Brian Levine, director of the Center for the Study of Hate and Extremism and an associate professor at California State University, San Bernardino, speculates over Roof's use of the racist symbols.
Well, I think it's highly symbolic when it's coupled with various other things that he did or said. So, Rhodesia and South Africa were brutally segregated countries. And those are the nations that he chooses of all the multitudinous nations in the world to put on his jacket. Plus, he was posing with a Confederate flag.
Washington-based human rights lawyer Doug Coltart concurs with Levine.
The use of the apartheid South African flag and the Rhodesian flag is indicative of the legacy of white supremacy and racism that we have historically in both South Africa and Zimbabwe, and that is an awful aspect of our past that we are still working through the ramifications of even today.
Levine also says South Carolina is home to many hate groups.
There are certainly hate groups in South Carolina, but I think, today, one of the things that we have to understand is that the old brick-and-mortar membership hate group is a bit anachronistic, and that is, today, people who have hate proclivities can do that on their own without joining a hate group. So hate groups today operate much more as vessels of ideology than actually membership-driven entities like they used to be.
Human Rights Watch researcher Dewama Vinga says lack of gun control laws in America is also fueling the violence.
It's about the control of guns. It is about ensuring protection, which is unlike many other countries where there are stronger and stricter controls on how someone can get access to guns and ammunition and how those are used.
The shooting in South Carolina is among many in America that continue to spark debate about access to guns. United States President Barack Obama, remarking on the incident yesterday, attributed this to poor gun control.
I've had to make statements like this too many times. Communities like this have had to endure tragedies like this too many times. We don't have all the facts, but we do know that, once again, innocent people were killed in part because someone who wanted to inflict harm had no trouble getting their hands on a gun.
Charleston County Coroner Rye Wooten identified the victims as follows: Cynthia Hard, 54, Susie Jackson, 87, Ethel Lance, 70, Reverend DePayne Middleton Doctor, 49, Honorable Reverend Clementa Pickney, 41, Taiwanza Sanders, 26, Reverend Daniel Simmons Sr., 74, Reverend Sharonda Singleton, 45, and Mira Thompson, 59. South Carolina's governor, Nick Haley, has urged prosecutors today to seek the death penalty for the suspect gunman. Reporting for Studio 7 in Washington, this is Blessing Zulu.